Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Listen, I want to just give a shout out and a thank you to Pastor Bill and Sandy for allowing me to be able to speak tonight, but just to be a part of this body. Aren't you excited to be about a body than part of a body that's alive, that's actually growing? I mean, he covered, yeah, let's give a round of applause. Man, this is, my wife and I have been here, we've been going to church here for about 8 years or so, 9 years? And it's been the most incredible 9 years. We came here in a point of our life of a season of crisis, or I guess just a troubled season in our life. We needed a place to come and to be able to just find the Holy Spirit in a new way, to find God come and meet us in a new way. And we found that. And we're just so appreciative to this church. We're so appreciative to the body, to so many people we've known for so many years. There's life here. And when there's life, that draws people. It draws people to closer to Christ when there's life in the church. If you weren't here Sunday, you need to listen to the podcast. Pastor Bill did an amazing, or go on to gutschurch.com, he did an amazing job. There are a couple things, and I'm going to build on this tonight, a couple things that just jumped out to me that he said, life unlimited, running over, abundance, in power and authority. He talked about those two words, power and authority. And what an amazing thing to know that in Christ, when we are in Christ, we have that power through the Holy Spirit that's inside us. We have that authority. I love what he said. He said, the authority we have in Christ gives us the right to receive and declare his promises that are in the Word. Isn't that good? Man, when you start thinking about the right to receive and declare his promises, that's the authority we have in Christ. That, what an awesome position we have as children of his, that we have the right to receive and declare, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's here for. You know, I remember when we first started coming here, I just kept seeing it. It's even on our billboard. We win every day. We help people win. That's what we do. And I remember my wife and I at first kind of going, well, I don't win every day. I'm not sure that. And I wrestled with that. We wrestled with that. And you start realizing what we're speaking out of our lives. No, I win every day. That's what I do. I win every day. And it's because of the power of Christ inside us that we're able to win. Does that mean that we never get rained on, so to speak? Pastor Bill says all the time, it rains, and it says in the Word, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. But what we do is we take that and we say, okay, I win every day. I'm more than a conqueror. And I never grasped that in all the years that I've been a Christian. I've been a Christian for 48 years. I grew up in a Christian home. I was blessed to be in a Christian home. But I never really understood the power of what Christ has done in us and through us. Through the fact that we have the power of the Holy Spirit inside us, and to realize that we do win every day. And it's an attitude, it's a position that we have, that authority that Pastor Bill talked about the other day, or on Sunday. So I just want to encourage you, go back over that sermon, take that back in. This whole entire series of Take It Back has been amazing, Pastor. Thank you for bringing it. You guys ready to get in the Word tonight? Let's turn to Jeremiah 17:5. If you've got your Bibles, if you've got your Bible app, Jeremiah 17:5 through 8. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Boy, that sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? It sounds pretty tough there. Cursed is a man who trusts in man. But then it goes on, and this is what I love about the Word. It brings up the promise. This is what's so good. But it says in the next scripture, or the next verse, it says, but blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads its roots out by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor will cease in yielding fruit. Just when you take that in, when you stop, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Word. When you stop and think about that, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord. And it goes on to tell us, you're like a tree planted by the waters. You spread out your roots by the river. You will not fear when heat comes. Your leaves will be green. And you will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor will you cease from yielding fruit. Isn't that what we're all after? Aren't we after yielding fruit? Aren't we after being green? Aren't we after staying fruitful and multiplying? You know, I was on a motorcycle trip this last, about a week and a half ago. I took a friend of mine, and we've always talked about going up into Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, Idaho. We kind of covered all four states. We put 1,900 miles on in a matter of 1 week. That's the most I've ever done on a motorcycle. I mean, I'm usually like after about 150 miles, I'm feeling it. Well, we were clipping along around 3 to 380 a day. So that's a lot of miles. But what was interesting is when we were going through Colorado and even a little bit into Utah, I noticed something that we talked about. He and I talked about at dinner that night. You noticed that while we were driving, you had mountains and you had arid and it was dry and it was midsummer. It was 95 degrees in Colorado. A lot of just dirt and rock on the left side. And then you look over to the right and you see, I think at the time it was the Snake River that was flowing by the road that we were on. And you see the stream and you see around it and within 20, 30 yards of it, there's lush green, there's trees, there's fruitful, you know, vegetation. There's a lot of life. And it hit us. That is close to getting to who we are in Christ and who we should be in Christ as it comes. That land became submitted to that river. And what I mean by that is it was plugged in. It was submitted. It was surrendered to the river. And that river gave it life. And there's scriptures throughout the whole entire Bible that talks about this. Psalms 1:1 talks about it. So I ask you a question tonight. This is the title of my message, Do You Trust Me? And that's what the Lord asks us, do you trust me? And I'm talking about unconditional, unwavering trust. I'm talking about that kind of trust in our lives that is, we have a lot of times we have a tough time thinking about trusting God to the point of fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar throws them in the fiery furnace. Wow, that's a trust that I'm not sure I'm ready for. And yet, it's very clear in the Bible, they trusted the Lord. I'm talking about walk on water kind of trust here. But yet, so often, we're trying to get to the point to where we're just trusting for a relationship fix. We're maybe trusting for our kids. We're trusting for a marriage issue. We're trusting for our finances. And I'm not saying that those aren't important, but I'm also thinking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a little bit more of a concern on their hearts than maybe what we have on our daily, don't you think? I find myself sometimes kind of going, okay, what about this? What about this thing that I've got in my life? Do I really trust him in all areas of my life? You know, the Lord convicted me. And by the way, Pastor, I love what you said last week. You said on Sunday, you said conviction. What did you say? You said conviction basically means I'm better than this. That's what God does sometimes. He gives you a conviction. He stirs in your heart and he says, you're better than this. And I love that because that's not condemnation. Those are two different things. Conviction says, you're better than this. And that causes us to rise up in Christ. But anyway, he's been convicting me of this lately, that Brad, you are a partial truster. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't want to be called a partial truster. See, I'm really good about trusting in my salvation, aren't you? We're confident in our salvation. We know this is my foundation. My salvation is my confidence. But then, do I take that on and I keep on going? Do I trust him with my areas in my life that I may be challenged in? Do I trust him with my past? Is there something that has a hurt that somebody else caused against me that makes me go, ah, God, I don't know if I can give that one to you. This one I'm going to hang on to. You take the rest of them, the, you know, world peace and all this other stuff, and I'm going to hang on to this thing. Or, God, you take care, you've been taking really good care of my finances lately, but I'm going to hang on to this thing, this hurt or this issue or this area that I don't know if I'm ready to turn over to him. And all he's asking us is trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord, trust and not lean on our own understanding. And, it, you know, again, back to that Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, what we're promised is when we do that, we become fruitful, we become green, we become, you know, we do not lack in a year of drought. Isn't that good? That's where we need to be. And so God's been really challenging me. Do we trust him? Quick Webster Dictionary. Don't use this as a truth. It just happens to be a definition of trust. Full reliance on the character, ability, strength, and truth of someone or something. To rely on the truthfulness or accuracy of something. To believe and place confidence in it. See, trust is being firmly reliant and confident in the source that gives you hope. Romans 10:9 is a foundational verse in our lives. All of us know it by heart. You said it when you asked Jesus into your heart. It was simple. It was, and this is the simple gospel right here, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. Foundational. But yet, God does not say, okay, that truth I was really serious about. Now, all the other things in your life, you know what? I'm working on it, buddy. Hang in there. I'm going to try to help you out. No, he says, you will be saved. But then he also says, you are healed. And he also says, I'm your provider. He also says, I'm your comforter. I'm your counselor. He says all those things. And yet sometimes we stop and we go, okay, I got my salvation, but man, I'm not sure about these other items, God. And he's asking us, can you give them all to us? That's just, you know, so important for us to do it. You know, I was in a season of my life in 2004, actually in 2003, where I quit a job because I really felt like I was supposed to, and I was felt like God was going to open a new door for me. And I thought, well, God, I'm being obedient, I'm going to quit this job, and you're going to open a new door for me, like what, maybe a couple days later, 2 days, 3 days later, we'll see how things go, maybe a week, okay, I'll give you a week. And all of a sudden, November, I interview with a company that I really felt strongly about, and Scarlett and I both said, wow, that's it, I really feel at peace about this one, Lord, this is where I'm supposed to go, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, that company went silent on me for 5 months, almost 6 months. And I thought, well, I obviously didn't get the job, obviously. you would have heard from him by before then. And it was a time of the season where no other doors were opening up. And so I was unemployed during that time. And I had 3 kids at home saying, feed me, feed me. And they'd come home and my daughter, Gabrielle, would say, Dad, are you still unemployed? I'm like, yeah, that's a low blow. Keep it quiet over there. Yeah, no more of that kind of stuff. But the point is, you start realizing, oh, okay, I got to trust in God here. I got to trust. And you know what's so cool? It was during that time that I was in unemployment that God started working on my heart on some few things. And he said, you know what, Brad? I had an issue of a little bit of pride. Like, oh yeah, I did the right thing by quitting this job. It was the right thing, Lord, and you're going to provide the next one. And I know he was going to. But I had a little bit of a, I'll do my part, you do your part, Lord, right? We got a deal here. And then I realize, no, it's only but the grace of God, there go I. And I realize he had to work something out in me, a different level of trust that I had never experienced before. And I had to get to that point of realizing that I had a maturity issue in the area of this. You know what's so cool? The person, the company that interviewed me in November is the company that came back in June and said, gosh, I'm sorry, we had a change going on in the company, a lot of things going on. We'd like to go ahead and move forward with you. And I'm like, wow, this is great. Why didn't you tell me that back in November? Why'd it take you so long? But I needed some growing to do during that time. And I trusted in the Lord, and he showed me a new level of trust that I never expected. And I've been at that company for almost 17 years now. And God has continued to just use me in so many other ways that I never expected, but I needed that season. I needed that season to be able to mature in a way that God said, oh, not yet. Yeah, I'm going to take care of you. And we were just fine. We were taken care of during that time by God's grace. But we needed that time. So it's so important that we continue to trust. We continue to put our trust in him and realize that we are not to be partial trusters. Why do we sometimes lack trust? Why do we sometimes lack trust in God? There's two things, and you can write these down. Number one, we don't fully understand and believe God's character, nature, and heart for us. We do not fully understand and believe God's character, nature, and heart for us. I love what Pastor Bill says. He says, the way God does anything is the way God does everything. That's a nature of consistency. We don't have to doubt God's consistency. The way he does anything is the way we do it. That's a nature that we need to understand and get to know. We also know his nature is love, grace, provision, always. Amen? That's something, one of those things to where we realize, no, that's his nature. His nature is love. It's provision. It's grace. It's who he is. If it doesn't line up with those words, it's not God. It's not. So that's who he is. He's a good shepherd. John 10, verse 7 through 11. You can write this down and come back to it later. John 10, 7 through 11. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I am a good shepherd. A good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. What a great example of Christ and who he is to us. He's a good shepherd. There's nobody better than the shepherd that we are being shepherded by, and that's our Heavenly Father. And we are sheep. And when you really think about sheep, sheep aren't the smartest in the world all the time, you know? And you know, it's interesting they use that. And it doesn't mean that we're not smart. It's just that they're very surrendered. They're very much like, hey, where do I need to go? What do I need to do? Okay, great. There's the door. I'll take it. Great. Oh, there's great pasture there. Thank you. I'll take it. It's great pasture. I get to live it. I get to be in peace. I get to lie down in green pastures. That's the kind of shepherd that we serve. Little story here. My three daughters, we used to live at a house that had a stairwell that went up it was a straight shot. There was probably, 20 steps, I think, that probably went up. And when they were younger, I think I had at that time 10, 8, and 4. Let's just call it that. It was about the time. And I remember we used to always tell them, hey, you know, jump to daddy, you know. And so they'd stand on the first step, and it was just pretty easy. It was no big deal. And then they go to the second step, and then the third. By about the fourth step of them jumping and hoping I'd catch them, I started noticing something very interesting. My 10-year-old, who's a little wiser and has been around the world a little bit more, my oldest starts going, yeah, daddy, I think I'm kind of done right here. This is good. This is all I want to do. I just want to maybe the fourth or fifth step is about all I want to do. And then my middle daughter, she maybe went one more step up from there and was like, okay, that's it. I'm scared. I don't want to do it anymore. It's not fun anymore. My youngest, she was like, talk about trust. She was like starting to go up. She was up to the seventh, eighth, ninth step, ready to just do one of these, just flying down. And I had to the point where, you know, I had to kind of go, okay, time out. This isn't safe anymore. And by the way, no animals, no cats, no dogs got hurt during this story. So I just want to make sure you know that. No kids got hurt. The point is, she had a childlike faith in her daddy. Her daddy, she knew when she stepped off, and if I was down there and she leaped, she knew for sure her dad was going to catch her. My other two knew that as well, with some limitations to them, didn't they? And I understand that. And I don't blame them, because I can make mistakes. Trust me. But she was to the point where, Gabrielle was to the point where it was like, 10th, 11th step, she was just ready to go. I said, no, time out. We can't do that. She goes, why? That would be so much fun, you know. But it just hit me. Isn't that the kind of faith that we should have, that childlike faith, that faith of going, God, I know you're going to catch me. Let's do this thing. Come on. I know you're going to heal my son. Let's do this thing. I know you're going to give me that job I need. Let's do this thing. And God's saying, yeah, you can trust me. My word says it. You can trust me. Do not fear. So first thing, we don't fully understand and believe God's character, nature. And the second thing is, of the two reasons why we sometimes lack trust in God, is that we allow the lies of the enemy, Satan, to take residence in our hearts and minds. Let me repeat that. We allow the lies of the enemy, Satan, to take residence in our hearts and minds. Fear, doubt, and unbelief. Three weapons that the enemy likes to use. He likes to use fear, doubt, and unbelief in our lives. Doubt is when you are caught between two possible answers. Doubt isn't simply unbelief. It's a mindset that says, I want to believe, but. How many times have we all said but in a statement? As Pastor Bill says, well, you just basically just erased everything that just was said right before that. Don't say, you know, the but word, okay? We told our kids, don't ever say but when they were little kids. The point is, that's the doubt. That's when doubt comes in. Doubt often comes to reside where faith once lived. Doubt is active oppression to faith, and it tries to push faith aside. Doubt is often the devil's entry point into our minds. Fear, doubt, and unbelief. Going back to fear real quick, how many times do you think, just wild guess maybe, I don't know if anybody has any idea, how many times do you think that the word says, fear not, or do not fear? The Gospels, how many times has Jesus said, do not fear, fear not? He was making a point. Now, again, you Google that, and it's 365 is what I've heard. I have not counted them up. I don't know the answer to that. All I know, it's more than 10. It's probably more than 30. And I got to believe he was trying to make a point. And the point is, fear not. Doubt. Let's not doubt. Unbelief. That's even going to the point to where we're saying, okay, I don't believe. Well, it's because the enemy, he likes to lie in our ear. He likes to tell us things of did God really promise that? Think back into the Bible in Genesis 2, where it goes through and it talks about the Garden of Eden. Satan said to Eve, did God really say, don't eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil? How many times has he said that to us? Did God really say that? That's at the moment we have to say, shut up, devil. I'm believing what the word says. I'm standing on the word, and the word will set me free. Free people set other people free. Amen? That's the key here. We have to become free so that we can free other people. That's what the whole thing here is about our walk with the Lord is he wants to equip us. He wants to understand when those three weapons come at us from the enemy, and he wants to say, listen, you're better than that. You're better than that. That conviction that comes. Again, we don't want to become partial trusters. No more partial trusters. Three things. Well, let me jump into this one scripture, Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there are any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Scarlett and I have gotten to the point to where we're convicted when we sit at night and God's been dealing with us a little bit of going, what am I putting in my brain right before I go to bed? Is it a bunch of news? Is it a bunch of political stuff going on? Is it just a bunch of stuff that's like, wow, what would be the atmosphere changer if I just put on some praise music before I went to bed? What an atmosphere changer if I just went ahead and said, you know what? I want to think on things that are noble, things that are pure, things that are lovely. Those are the kind of things I want to be thinking about. Four things I want to leave with you, and then we'll wrap up here. How do we trust God completely? I'm going to give you four quick points here. You can write these down. Number one, how do we trust God completely? We surrender my will to God's. We surrender my will to God's. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Sheldon brought a great message on Father's Day about lean not. And I remember we have our times where we lean on the wrong things, and they're going to give out. Lean not on our own understanding. Guys, we have limited understanding. We have limits to our understanding as people. And many times, God, as he's revealing things to us, he might just be waiting for us to trust. He wants us to trust. And then he'll reveal things to us later on. But initially, he just asks us to trust and ask him, guide me, direct me, show me. Lean not on your own understanding, but on all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Number two, renew my mind. Again, number one, surrender my will to God's. I have to surrender my will. Number two, I renew my mind. You know, Romans 12, 2 says, don't copy the behavior. This is in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know what God's perfect will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, we have to renew our mind. Feelings get in the way many times, and you just cannot give credibility to feelings. Feelings are not what you should be giving. You got to stop when a feeling comes and it doesn't line up with the Word of God. You stop and you acknowledge it, that it's a feeling, and say, but what does the Word of God say? Pastor's so good about teaching us about, obviously, facts change, the truth does not. So feelings and renewing our mind, getting the Word in us day in and day out, having Scripture on our tongue, constantly saying, listen, Lord, I want to trust you completely. Therefore, I'm gonna have Scripture on my mouth. I'm going to renew my mind. Number three, let go of control, worry, and anxiety. We have limited understanding, and many times we want to control the situation. We want it to fit in our box, and we have to realize we're limited. When it comes to our mind, we are unlimited when it comes to the Spirit of God inside us. Amen? We have to renew our mind, we have to let go, and we have to keep fear, doubt, and unbelief, worry, and anxiety from being in our lives. And we have to ask ourselves, Lord, does this line up with the Word of God or does it not? Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." Another one to write down here that you can study later. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. "So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all of your worries and your cares to God, for he cares for you." Isn't that great that we've got promises like that we can stand on, that we can go back to? So again, and then the fourth one. Let's talk about the fourth one. I'll review all four of them. And then the fourth one, listen and trust the Holy Spirit. Be patient and obey. If we hurry the process, we disrupt the growth. Think about it as a farmer. When he goes out and he plants his seed, he doesn't go back to the house, sit down at the dinner table and start wringing his hands going, "Oh, I don't know if that seed's going to grow. Oh, man, I don't know if that seed's going to grow." He knows, he has confidence that when he put that seed in the ground, and that when he waters it, and that when he fertilizes it, he's going to produce a harvest. He knows it. But what's going on during that time after he planted that seed? It's sitting in the darkness, isn't it? It's sitting in the darkness. It's germinating. It's doing what it needs to do. So that sprout comes popping out, and it does what it's supposed to do, which is produce a harvest. But there's times in our lives to where we know that there's a germination process. There's a waiting process. What we can't do is go pick at it. Go pick at it. Because what's that seed going to do? It's not going to grow properly. We can't pick at it. And it's so important that we just let the seed grow that it's supposed to grow. We listen and trust the Holy Spirit. We say, Lord, give me guidance and direction. My timeline's not always your timeline. Lord, what do you want to do with this? Let that seed grow. Romans 15:13 in New Living Translation. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So those four things: surrender my will to God, renew my mind, let go of control, worry, and anxiety, and then the fourth one, listen and trust the Holy Spirit. I am confident, and I say this with great humility, that as God has continued to work in my life over the last, I would say over the last 4 or 5 years, and especially it's been just so fruitful, me being here part of Guts Church, is that those promises that are in our lives and those things that we meditate on, those are for us. Salvation wasn't just the only thing he gave us. He gave us beyond salvation. It says in his word, on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. Those are the kind of things that we speak over our lives. God is more than just a salvation God. This is more than just fire insurance. Well, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to live my life the way I want to. But God, thank you, Jesus, for your grace that you died on the cross for me. And that's all I needed. Thanks so much. It's kind of like as if we were in prison. And then we finally got out of prison. And we went home. And we lived like we were still in prison. We stayed in the house. We kept asking people to put shackles on us. We kept doing the things you do in prison. You don't leave the four walls of your home. That's not what God called us to. He said, you know what? You're free. Now go set other people free. And that is what I encourage you tonight with. I encourage you to realize that trust in our lives produces freedom. It produces greater faith. And when we trust God for more than just our salvation and everything that's spoken in the word, we become freer people. And because of that, we're able to set other people free. Amen?
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.